It's now time for the Blown Call Show. All of today's important topics in the world of sports, wrestling, and entertainment, told from a uniquely Canadian perspective. And now, here is your host, Mike the Ref, on the Edmonton Sports Podcast Network.
Hey, folks. Welcome to the Blown Call Show this week. I am Mike the Ref. This is episode 52 on our trek to Blown Call 100 here. It is Thursday, September 10th, 2015. On this show, we are going to be talking about the beginning of the NFL season, which is today, along with a topic that's been coming up in wrestling lately with fans interacting negatively with fans, and it's been turning into some disastrous results here, folks. So it's not a pretty situation, but we need to get into this topic and figure out who's really to blame here, and if there is any one person really to blame. But with that and all the updates that I could come up with here, it's going to be a hell of a show here, folks. Before we begin, I want to send a big thank you out to everybody who is listening to this podcast, whether it be through the Podbean website, edmontonspn.podbean.com, iTunes. Please feel free to review the show if you can. All of our shows on here, we try to do our best to not only inform you, but entertain you as well. If you guys check out the Facebook page, there is a new drinking game for our Quick Calls episodes, thanks to RCW's Thaddeus Archer III. I'm going to pin that to our Facebook page here at the conclusion of our Front Row Mafia campaign. But I just got the results in from Podbean Central here. Right now, we are being listened to in over 15 countries, and a lot of listeners coming out from Germany. So I definitely do say thank you for listening to us, and hopefully you're enjoying what wrestling, sports, and humor in Alberta is all about here. Also, shout outs to the UK, India, Philippines, Thailand, Sweden, France, Czech Republic, Australia, Italy, Netherlands, Serbia, and Pakistan, the United Arab Emirates, okay, and of course the United States, Canada, and lest we be forget, Dudleyville, Eldorado, and parts unknown. I know those last three places are within 50 miles of each other, so one of these days we're going to try and pack up the car and head out there, come visit you guys, and maybe do a remote out there from parts unknown here. So, but with that, feel free. We love to hear your feedback from everything that we do here on Edmonton SPN. You can get a hold of us on Facebook at facebook.com/EdmontonSPN. My email is theblowncallshow@gmail.com, and my Twitter is @MikeTheRef here. So let's get to the first topic of the day, and this is the big topic for everybody today. Football. Not the European quote-unquote football, where they use their feet to try and get the ball past an 8-yard by 8-foot goal. I'm talking about NFL, wear your helmets, bang yourself on the head silly until you get a concussion. Football. American football. The NFL season kicks off tonight with the New England Cheaters taking on the Pittsburgh Plastics. Sorry, folks. I can't call the Steelers, because let's face it, their center Marquise Pouncey is out right now. Their running back Le'Veon Bell is suspended. And right now, Ben Roethlisberger is going to be a sitting duck back there because he's got no offensive line. He's got no emergency valve that's anything decent. So he's going to be running for his life all game here. So then, of course, let's get on to the New England Cheaters. I'm sorry, Patriots, I'm sorry, you cannot represent America unless you really want to consider all of America cheaters, but I don't want to in that point. Not only do we have to deal with flat balls, small balls, I'm sorry, Americans. I don't think you want to deal with flat balls or small balls. We us in Canada, we don't have to deal with either one of those. Now you got other controversies coming up saying that the Patriots were cheating, they were stealing playbooks, and there's so many different things coming up right now for the fact that they just want to tie a string to the Patriots and hang them for whatnot forever reasons. As much as I hate the Patriots, I'm a Bills fan, folks. I'm going to throw that out there right now. And we are the lovable losers of the NFL. We have not been in the playoffs since 1999, the longest streak in the world. People ask me, why are you a Bills fan? Well, I guess I must be a glutton for punishment because the first ever NFL game I watched the conclusion of the game coming up with two simple words, wide right. Yeah, I guess I'm a glutton for punishment here, folks. But anyway, back to the game tonight. Tom Brady is back in the lineup, of course. We've all heard the whole story about the Deflategate and how Roger Goodell blundered up the investigation on it so they couldn't get him. They're going to find a way to get the Patriots eventually here. And I hope that the Patriots realize that they got to be squeaky clean here for at least half a season, if not a full season. Because the NFL is going to be looking at them three times harder than anybody else because they want to nail their asses to a cross here. So I've heard a lot of other stories about race and color and all this crap about, oh, they're just playing up to the white guy. I don't really give a shit about hearing stuff like that. As a lot of people are bitter, just looking up for any reason possible to come up why stuff isn't coming up, and everybody thinks it's a conspiracy theory. I'm sorry, there's facts and then there's conspiracies. Deflategate was facts, they just weren't processed the right way. The court of public opinion is he was guilty, they just got away with it. I'm gonna go with that. I can live with that. OJ killed three people, but he got acquitted because the glove didn't fit. In the personal lawsuit, I do believe OJ had to pay a shitload of money out. So, in the court of public opinion, when you're fit, when it has to be 50-50, are you more guilty or more innocent? He was far more guilty. I swear, if this ended up being a public lawsuit between the Patriots and the NFL, it would do the same thing. The NFL would win that case. But it has to be proven beyond a shadow of a reasonable doubt at this point. So, but let's get to the positive here, folks. The NFL season is starting. There are going to be some very good changes and some very bad changes. I want to give a shout out to Veggie Boy at this point because his Seattle Seahawks still look pretty strong. Unfortunately, I'll give a shout out to our new father of the Jerks group, Cub, who unfortunately is a Niners fan, which not only does he have to put up with a newborn son that probably keep him up at night. The number of sacks and the number of touchdowns given up by the 49ers defense will probably make him stay up all night as well. So I can't see the 49ers doing much of anything as well. And in terms of our other favorite teams in our collective jerks group, the Eagles are a little up and down. I don't know what to expect out of them. Sorry, Uncle Touchy. I can't guarantee much of anything for that. Lunchbox, your Bungles. I'm sorry, they're still the Bungles until your red-headed assassin there, Andy Dalton, can throw a touchdown in the playoffs. Then, of course, there's the Ravens, who we really don't know whether they're going to be up or down this year. Drinks. I wish the best for you. I hope you get to the AFC Championship against the Bills. But yeah, it's going to be tough for you guys. Other than that, I think the Lions look strong, especially with Megatron. If you go on to YouTube and search out a Madden 16 Megatron, they have set it up so that Megatron is so strong that seven defenders pretty much can't take him down. So in real life, it's going to be an interesting season here, and you don't know what to expect. even those ugly uniforms of the Browns this year, they might produce something funny. I don't know. They need to change it up in Cleveland, and maybe that's the way to do it. The high school type uniforms. Could be a lot better, could be a lot worse, but I digress at that point. Hockey season's coming up in 2 weeks, folks. We're going to be talking a little bit about that in my next show. But for right now, let's get to the main topic this week, which is wrestlers interacting with fans in a negative fashion, and who's really to blame for all these incidents over the last couple weeks. It's going to be a rather interesting piece for you here, so check it out. All right, folks, time to get to my main topic of the day here. And the reason I'm bringing this up is we had another incident here where former TNA superstar Gunner ended up booting a fan in an audience because he put some bad comments on social media, as well as was chanting some not nice stuff towards Gunner at a live show, and Gunner reacted poorly to it. Now, this is in a long list of events that have gone on with interactions between fans and wrestlers that have not turned out in very positive. In WWE, we've had three recently with a fake Money in the Bank briefcase being thrown at Roman Reigns. We've had a fan come out of the stands to, I don't know whether it was confirmed that it was an attack with a knife on Dean Ambrose. And then as late as last Monday, on Monday Night Raw, when the fan jumped a guardrail to join Seth Rollins down to the ring. Of course, we've had our own local incidences with one organization having a wrestler push a fan during a show to the point where a lot of the accusations have been made in regards to how severe it was and whatnot. I don't want to get into that. As well as a video that was previously put up about another group where a fan started, essentially a drunken fan attacked a wrestler to the point where he had to smother the guy and look for security to protect himself in that matter. I don't know all the details on these events, folks, from top to bottom, so I don't want to get into it too much. The article about Gunner is on the Facebook page, facebook.com/EdmontonSPN. I'd like for you guys to give me your thoughts on it. Myself, personally, I'm going to bring this up in two parts, because it's not just one person to blame on this. It's just not the fans that are the problem. It's not just the wrestlers that are the problem. It's not just the promoters that are the problem. I feel it's a combination of all three. First off, let's go with the easy one here, the fans. Now, the fans over the last 30 years have changed. 30 years ago, everything wasn't so politically correct, so prim and proper. People that have listened to this podcast for all 52 episodes have to realize that I'm not the biggest fan of PC. Back in the 80s and the 90s, you could interact with these wrestlers. You can look down in sites like Puerto Rico right now. I've heard stories, if you check out from the Second Row Productions, Gutbuster Radio, there's been interviews with stars talking about interactions in Puerto Rico where there's literally knife fights in the stands trying to get at wrestlers because of what they've done in some of the matches. Like, that stuff's borderline insane. And those fans still believe that wrestling is essentially a real product. Good on them for thinking that, but that isn't the way North American society is right now. I say in Japan you could get away with it a little bit more, but in North America, absolutely not. These fans these days are way too smart on the most part. Kayfabe is something that isn't shown that much anymore. I like to keep it just for the fact it's fun. In the back of my mind, I know it's real, but in other senses, I like to think that it's not. Like, it's just that basically the wrestling is a competition between two athletes who are showing their athletic ability in the ring. A lot of fans see it as a battle of good versus evil. They go back to the WrestleMania 1 and 2 days where Roddy Piper is the most despicable human being on this planet. And guys like King Kong Bundy, Bobby the Brain Heenan, Andre the Giant for that matter, when it came to WrestleMania 3, these guys were essentially evil. And Hulk Hogan was the ultimate good guy. We are seeing now that obviously that wasn't the case back then. And everybody had their personal demons and their personal issues. Look no further than Jimmy Snuka, Hulk Hogan, and all these other factors here. So, but if you have fans that still want to believe it's real, you know what? You still got to realize that you can't interact with the wrestlers the way you used to. Give them their space to work, and they will give your space to cheer. So, but then from there, you get on to the wrestlers themselves. This one's a little more dicier. I don't want to blame them too much for it. They're trying to, A, stay in character, B, still trying to put on a performance, and C, worried about their safety. Now, if I had a deranged fan coming out and wanting to act like they wanted to kill me, I'm sorry, I'm going to defend myself regardless. And good props to them on that. However, a lot of these wrestlers need to remember that a lot of people think wrestling is the way it was back in the 80s still, like I just mentioned. Somebody with a good thought on it was my buddy Preston here, STF Entertainment. If you guys get a chance, check him out here. I'm just trying to load up the comment here. In regards to the whole Gunner incident, Preston writes, I get the impression he believed in his own mind that the fan was suffering from mental illness and felt he needed to protect himself. Some fans are simply kayfabe for life, and he should know that. That is the best way to put it. And thank you, Preston, for sending that in. I truly do believe a lot of fans... You got to believe a lot of fans are in that kayfabe mode and think that a lot of these wrestlers are the worst guys on the planet, some are the best. And these wrestlers need to get that through their head while they're out there, that maybe not all fans are as knowledgeable about the outside the ring business than they are inside the ring. Don't get me wrong, wrestlers need to protect themselves, but they don't need to provoke shit, okay? Provoking stuff the way Gunner did in his situation, just because some comments are made online, goes back to that great, was a grade one saying, sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me. If you're getting chanted by a crowd, you deserve to get booed. You're getting that heat. You should be wanting that. Wrestlers getting heat from fans means that they actually give a shit about you. The worst wrestlers are the ones where the only chance you get from the crowd is, who are you? I've seen that many a time, folks, and seriously, if wrestlers don't know who you are and you're not able to make an impression, you're not going to last in this business very long. So as long as you can make an impression on the crowd and get some heat or get some praise off the fans from you, just because they don't cheer you, you know, you got to have a little bit of a thick skin. Hell, I'm a ring announcer for one of the groups and I get booed half the time. And just shrug it off, shake it off, and just remember my front row mafia. But lastly, this one's a very simple one, and I see this a lot with our indie promotions. And I'm going to go with the promoters here. Not only do the promoters have to provide a safe working environment, they also have to have the ability to protect their wrestlers when these situations come up. From setting up barricades, like I know one group uses a rope if they use anything, like a magic rope to keep fans back. Actually, two of them do, in Edmonton at least. If you have a security measure that's big enough to cover any incidences that may come up in the crowd, more than just one guy running around trying to keep everything under control, you could do that. But just having one guy run around as security with a crowd of fans that you really don't know what they're going to do, personally, I find that that might be a bit of an issue. And for Pete's sake, spend some money on some guardrails, guys. You could use them for a lot more spots. And the fact both the fans and the wrestlers are protected in that point. I'd rather, as much as I like to see wrestlers throw things at people's laps in terms of other wrestlers, I think it'd be more appropriate if they ran into a steel guardrail or something. But you take the good, you take the bad, and hopefully you have a good set of fans in the crowd that aren't going to start beating on you when you get near them in the crowd. So for the most part, don't get me wrong, for the most part, wrestling fans are some of the best fans in the world. They are loyal. They enjoy action. They will respect you. And they will be honest with you. If they think your performance sucked, more often than not, they are going to let you know. And on the flip side, if you put out a great performance, I don't care if you're face or heel, especially at an indie show, they will give you the respect you deserve. I've been to more than one show. Like, let me throw out the last RCW show in Edmonton. For example, when Psycho Mitch put Vince Austin through a table with a double arm pile driver, I never thought I'd ever see the time where Vince Austin was going to be cheered as a member of the Newfoundland Viking Rage. But these fans got up on their feet and they applauded Vince for his performance that night. Now, as much as that breaks kayfabe and everybody should be cheering the fact that Vince almost died, I really appreciate the fact that the fans do appreciate a good performance and know what kind of effort it takes to go through stuff like that. Now, nobody was jumping the ring. Nobody was wishing him dead at that point. And it was a definite show of respect from the fans. And I, for the most part, that's what I like seeing. But all three, the fans, the wrestlers, and the promoters, need to recognize that there will be some fans in the crowd who keep kayfabe to the most extreme of details. Alright, folks, that was my thoughts on wrestlers interacting with fans in a very interesting way here. Let me know your thoughts. My email is theblowncallshow@gmail.com. My Twitter handle is @MikeTheRef. Also, get a hold of us on Facebook at facebook.com/EdmontonSPN. But with that, I want to give an update on our Front Row Mafia campaign here. It's going slowly. It's still going, but it's still going very slowly, guys. If you want to know all about it, check out our Facebook page at facebook.com/EdmontonSPN. We do have the shirts available for you, the fans, the Front Row Mafia, to really show your pride in not only independent wrestling, independent sports, but also the Edmonton Sports Podcast Network. These are a great Christmas gift for friends. So don't forget, when you're buying one, buy one for your friends, buy one for your enemy. Hell, buy them for me. I'll take some freebies. I don't mind. We not only have t-shirts available, but we also have hoodies, long sleeve shirts, tank tops for you muscle bound freaks. All that is available on teespring.com/EdmontonFrontRowMafia. We're doing this for you guys. If we get enough money together, we want to get a laptop together so that we can stream some very entertaining wrestling shows from the Edmonton and Northern Alberta area for you guys to watch. You guys deserve to watch some great talent. Especially live, because, hell, half these towns we know there isn't much to do on a Saturday night. Why not check out a live stream of a wrestling show, especially with me and Andre C on commentary? Usually throw our quick calls right on there as well. Might be able to get some more video shows up as well, so maybe some live locales for stuff. So, yeah, please, if you can, teespring.com/EdmontonFrontRowMafia. Check it out and get your shirts while you can. The campaign ends September 24th, with the orders probably going out roughly around October 1st. As long as we got enough shirts, guys, so you need to order them now as soon as possible so we can get this order underway. But before I get to the upcoming events here on Edmonton SPN, I don't know if I really want to give a shout out or if I want to give a slap in the face to RCW's resident first family manager, Thaddeus Archer III. Apparently, there is a drinking game now for listening to our Quick Calls episodes. I don't want to give out the details, folks. Check out our Facebook page, facebook.com/EdmontonSPN, for his post on what is involved in the Quick Calls drinking game. All I'm going to say is there is a lot of opportunity there for you to beverage yourself at this time. I can't wait to get Thaddeus up here on the network talking about not only wrestling, but his factions and, you know, enlighten us with his brilliance being a member of being the originator of the first family, for that matter, and what his goals are for the first family and their future in RCW. So can't wait to have him on. I do believe we're scheduling something roughly for right around Survivor Series time, where our Canadian four-quarter conversation will be talking about factions. I'm really looking forward to a couple special guests, not only Thaddeus, but possibly one or two others, depending on availability and whatnot. But we'll get into that later on. But yes, check out the Facebook page in regards to our drinking game. Dun, dun, dun. All right, in terms of upcoming events here, our next Quick Call show for sure will be on the 18th from the Springbrook Multiplex in Springbrook, Alberta, just outside of Red Deer, covering RCW Collision Course. This is going to feature not only a women's title defense between the champion Kat Von Hees and the challenger WWE Tough Enough's Chelsea Green, as there will also be a steel cage match between the new Newfoundland Viking Rage of Shotgun Stevens and Vince Austin, taking on the Dogs of War for the Tag Team Championship. Steven Styles and Moses Luke are definitely going to have their hands full with this new incarnation of a great tag team. And yes, folks, I did say great tag team. Give the devil their due. As much as we like to boo them out of their place, they definitely know what they're doing. Also on that card, two unheralded matches on the card that could turn out to be main events. You got the Battle of the Big Men with Big Jess Youngblood defending his RCW Canadian Heavyweight Championship against the legend Kevy Chevy. I've never seen Mr. Chevy before. I'm going to try and get some details here prior to our next show as to exactly who he is and what he's done in the indie wrestling scene. But from what I've been told by the promoter, he has quite a laundry list of stuff that he has done, and he is looking forward to challenging Big Jess Youngblood for that belt. And of course, I'm going to send the shout out right now to the Front Row Mafia Red Deer chapter, who are affectionately known as Dickheads, as their boy, their king, their savior, their herald in mass, Dick Richards, Dirty Dick Richards, will be taking on God's gift to wrestling, Michael Richard Blaze. Now, folks, I have a very strange feeling that this is definitely going to be one match you are not going to want to miss. Dick Richards has been on a roll lately, especially where it seems that Red Deer is now his home turf. The fans have really gotten behind him. Once again, shout out to the Dickheads. But MRB definitely proved himself in that match with Leon Grayson last month. So this should definitely be a humdinger, a wing-a-ding-dong dandy, or a top-to-bottom, straight-up, absolutely phenomenal match. Trying to use every word of the drinking game here, folks, but that's not for you to check out another way. We might have a Quick Calls from the WWE house show in Edmonton upcoming this Friday, September 11th. It all depends on how the card turns out. We like to focus on the independent show, though. So our, like I said, our next shows will be from the Springbrook Multiplex in Springbrook, Alberta, We also have Fatal Fallout with RCW in Edmonton, the Evansdale Community Hall on September 19th. And right now, it looks like there's still a PWA show on September 26th. No, nothing formal has been announced at the show yet, but it is on their list of events. So hopefully that's still up, because that is an Edmonton SPN national holiday. So we don't get those many around here these days. So the only other thing that might be coming up here in the next few weeks, in terms of a Quick Calls episode, I'm looking to see if I can arrange something on the 16th of September, where the Edmonton Oilers rookies are taking on the Alberta Golden Bears in Connor McDavid's first official Oilers home game. Well, it's a preseason game, but it still counts in our books. So hoping to get somebody down there to cover that and to provide a report for you guys. So looking at the rest of the calendar, Andre C. will hopefully have something together either this week or next in terms of Wrestling Clarity episode. If he doesn't, I will be back with the Blown Call show here next week, or with a complete preview show. We might just dedicate it completely to the RCW shows coming up, as we want to give you guys some details that you definitely are not going to want to miss here. So, but with that, this is Mike the Ref here. I want to thank you once again for listening and downloading the podcast. Please rate and review it on iTunes if you're on there. Please like and share if you can. If you're on Facebook, the Podbean page, please share that if you can. The more shares, the more people that listen to it, the more things that get out, the more things we're able to do for you guys. But just remember, folks, be nice to your referees, because they definitely have a tough job to do. But they will come up with a blown call every once in a while. And this has been The Blown Call with Mike the Ref on the Edmonton Sports Podcast Network. Thanks for joining in.
This has been The Blown Call Show with your host, Mike the Ref, on the Edmonton Sports Podcast Network. For more information on all the network programming, search Edmonton Sports Podcast Network on iTunes, YouTube, and Facebook. Or check out their website at edmontonspn.podbean.com.